Amen. What a beautiful song. Beautiful song. We're going to be reading this morning from Mark chapter 6. You'll notice I didn't have all that information in there. Been a wild week. I lost a track of day it was a couple times this week. So anyway, we're going to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read 30 through 44 this morning. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Now, before I forget, this is my Madison Sunday, so I will be skedaddling. There's my vocab. I don't know if that's in the dictionary or not, but I'll be doing that after service. So, again, I love you all. It's not that, but I'll be heading out. But I was struck by this passage again, and I actually preached from the Matthew version of this not long ago. You may or may not remember. But I just was hit by this story again this week. And this is probably a familiar text for many of us. Those of us that have been around the church for a few years, it's one of those passages that's truly, really, really incredible. And it's so incredible, but I don't know. I guess for me, I've heard it so much, sometimes I'm tempted to lose just how powerful it really is. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to give you some brand new grand insights from this text or not. I'm certainly not going to cover all the different details of this text, but I do hope and I pray that we hear this story afresh this morning, and like the crowds and the disciples, come away blessed from it. You know, as we read that Jesus and his disciples decided to get away on a little vacation. You know, that sounds so nice. They wanted to get away. Jesus invited them to come and rest a while. But you know what? Someone messed up, and the beans got spilled, and everyone found out where they're going, and 5,000 of their closest or not so close friends decided to join them on their vacation. How kind of them. They didn't realize you'd need to go to a place where there's no cell service. That would have been key. And God decides to respond here. Jesus decides to respond to them, much different than perhaps I would or perhaps you would. Which would be to say, "Hey, why don't y'all, let's get back on the boat and go back to where we came from. Let's just see how fast they can run." But no, it says that he looked on them and has compassion on them. He looks on them and sees them and says, they look like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. They're vulnerable and unprotected. They are, they're leaderless. And you know what? They may not even know it. I think sheep sometimes, without a shepherd, they may not even know how vulnerable and how unprotected they really are. They may not even know they need a leader until it's too late. And so Jesus sees this and has compassion, and it says he began teaching them many things. And I just want us to remember, may we have the eyes of Christ to look out into our homes or into our schools or our workplaces and see sheep without shepherds and have the kind of compassion that Jesus has here. And have the same kind of compassion that Jesus has here. You know, we can be short of many things in this world. There's many times we can look at ourselves and find ways in which we don't add up. But I hope and I pray that we'll never be short on compassion. And so when it gets late, Jesus encourages the disciples encourage Jesus, please, let's send the crowds away. Let them go fend for themselves. And of course, Jesus, he says, you know what? No, you feed them. I just thought this week, what would that have been like if he was saying that to us? If we were one of those disciples and heard him say to us, you give them something to eat. This is one of those moments where you might be tempted to just kind of blend back into the crowd, you know, for a moment. Just trying to imagine this thing that he's asking them to do. You know, Jesus often asks us to do more than we feel we're capable of, does he not? So often Jesus calls us to do more than we think we're able to, more than we feel like we have the resources to do, more than we just feel like we can do. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place where maybe you're going out to eat or going to do something and you realize that you were a little bit short on the bill? Maybe, I can't tell you, I've done this several times. I've gotten to where I was going to eat. I've had this great order, got up there to pay, and realized, oh, I left my wallet at home. That is not a good feeling, is it not? And maybe that's how the disciples felt when Jesus asked them that question. Jesus, we don't have that kind of money. We're coming up short here. And I just feel like so often in the church, maybe I'm alone here, but I feel like so often we can look around or we can look at ourselves and we just feel like we come up short. We're short on our budget. Our denaries don't go as far as they used to, Jesus. You know, giving is down, Jesus. We're short on manpower. Look at our church. We're small. We're smaller than we used to be. We don't have the people that we used to have. Not to mention the woman power. They aren't even mentioned in this passage, but Lord knows if they were, we'd probably have no problems in this text. We feel short on our abilities. The disciples say, are we to go and buy bread? You want us to do what now, Jesus? I think we look at ourselves and we think, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an elder. I'm not whatever. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. There's so much I don't know, there's so many verses in the Bible. There's so much I don't understand. I confuse Noah and Moses sometimes. My simple prayers sound like nothing compared to the way that she prays so elegantly. Or those spiritual gifts that you gave me, they must have got lost in the shipping process somewhere because I'm not seeing them, Lord. I can't do that. Or maybe like the disciples, we just feel like we're short on energy. I try to imagine what it's like to be those disciples where it says they didn't even have the luxury of time to eat. And I think the last thing they wanted on this retreat with Jesus was to get up and to start serving again. Have you ever felt like that in the church? Have you ever felt like there's just not enough of you to go around, or not enough of your church to go around, or not enough of whatever to go around? How often do we feel that way? And when we don't feel like we have enough, whatever it is, maybe suddenly we start to believe that maybe it's not just the stuff or the things or the ability or the time that it's not enough. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's me. I think so often when we think about what we lack, it goes beyond just the things that we lack, but it goes to ourselves. Maybe we aren't enough. Maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe I am not able to be used by the Lord. And yet here in this passage, we see that Jesus still asks us, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go see what you have. What happens when Jesus encourages us to go and to see what we have, and we go and look around us, and what we have just seems like it's a little meager? Can you imagine how those disciples must have felt when Jesus asked them to go see what they had, and they get together, and you can imagine they come up with, what did you bring? What did you? Five loaves, two fish. I thought to myself, what must have it felt like for them to slowly make that walk up to Jesus? Like, you know, this is all I got, Lord. This is all I can offer you. Did they feel ashamed? Did they feel maybe like they, did they feel bad about themselves? Were they embarrassed with what they found? Maybe sometimes we've looked around and been embarrassed a little bit of what we have to offer. Were they reluctant to report back in? Jesus, I believe this is what you want, but this is all we have. You know, I think sometimes we can be a little too obsessed with numbers in our church. You know, do we have a good worship service? Well, how many people were there? Is that how we measure whether or not we had a good ministry or a good morning that morning? But the other thing I thought about was, you know what? I think sometimes those disciples, they may have felt shame, they may have felt embarrassment, but you know what I think they may also have felt? Maybe a little bit of relief. Because you know what? If this problem that Jesus is calling me to do is so big, but you know what? This is all I got. So you know what? There's no way he's going to ask me to do more. There's no way that he'll ask me to do beyond what I can do. Look how little bit we have. Whew, I won't have to worry about it. That's going to be someone else's problem. Jesus says, think again. Think again. I wonder if sometimes we find relief in consistently underestimating ourselves, or by limiting our involvement, or by, Lord, forgive us, underestimating God. It gives us an excuse to ignore those around us because we only have so much. It's like how sometimes I tell people here at this church, I don't know how to work the dishwasher downstairs. And you know what? I don't want to know how to work the dishwasher downstairs because that means I'm going to get asked to work the dishwasher downstairs. And so I've put that off for 10 years now because I didn't want to do it. But you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Actually, it means I have a lot more hand washing to do. That's what I've learned over the years. I just need to go ahead and do it. Unfortunately, for those of us trying to hide behind our lack, Jesus still calls us to go and to feed, to go and to see, and to get ready to serve. Get ready to do what seems like is impossible for us to do. And that's because Jesus is in the business of the impossible. And Jesus calls us to be aware and to be ready for when he calls on us to do the impossible. When we seem like we can't do it alone, thanks be to God, we need to remember that Jesus never, ever calls us to do it alone. Instead, he has the disciples sit the people down in groups of 50 or 100, which sounds an awful lot like a lot of the churches I know. He takes the food, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it. And wouldn't you know, there's enough to go around. In fact, there's more than enough to go around. The people are fed. And while I've heard pastors speak and speculate on a variety of ways in which this happened, from the miraculous to people getting around and sharing, that all sounds good, but the fact of the matter is the text doesn't tell us. It just says that they act and they have more than enough. And I think the reason it does that is because we're invited to not speculate and wonder about the means, but simply to respond and be obedient to when Jesus calls us to act. We are invited to trust Jesus, to not look at what we don't have or the ways in which we don't measure up, or to look at ourselves and think that we aren't enough, but instead to look to Christ, who says that with me there will always, always be enough. To remember that everything that we do is impossible alone. That we may offer a helping hand, we may preach a sermon, we may serve people and provide food, we may do all of these things, but it's God's Spirit that moves within us. It's God's Spirit that alone unites our spirit to His. It's God's Spirit alone that changes our hearts, that everything we do is meaningless and empty without the Lord's hand on it. The disciples think that they need all of this money. They think they need all of this stuff to accomplish what God has called them to accomplish. And Jesus says it's time to evaluate your ministry and do things a little differently. It's time to evaluate what you're doing and do things a little differently because I have something different in mind. I think sometimes we need to remember that when Jesus calls us to do something, maybe we need to be thinking outside the box a little bit and reevaluate how we're doing our ministry. Do we trust Jesus like we should? Are we inviting Him to trust us, to trust that He is enough, that we were never supposed to do it on our own, and to trust that we are enough? When you've come up short sometimes, when you're out eating that meal or out at the store or whatever, and you've forgotten your wallet like I have, and you get there and you go to pay and you just don't have it, have you experienced the grace of that person behind you or that cashier in front of you or whoever that steps in the gap where you come up short and provides exactly what you need? How good does that feel? My friends, let us remember when we are tempted to doubt ourselves, when we are tempted to say that we don't measure up, that we have a God who has stepped down and seen where we lack, and He has come to bridge the gap. That Jesus stepped in when we feel like we're consumed with sin, when we feel like we don't have enough, and said, "No, let me provide what you can't, because I've paid the cost for you, because I believe in you." And so, church, as we read this passage, I want you to remember that you are blessed. That you are blessed because Jesus was broken and He was given for you. That Jesus has equipped His church to accomplish the ministry that He's called us to do. And yes, that may look different than what it has done in the past. Yes, that may mean we do it differently than we have. But Jesus has provided enough for us. And when we trust in Him, we might see that God's abundance goes far beyond what we can imagine. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for calling us to serve You. And Lord, we pray that we might respond with obedience when Jesus speaks to us and says, "You go and feed them. You go and serve." Lord, help us to put our excuses aside. Help us to put away our relief that maybe we're not able to do it, and so You're calling someone else. Lord, help us know to hear Your voice and to respond. God, when we're tempted to look at what we don't have, and when we look at what we don't have, and equate that with who we are, with feeling like we aren't enough, remind us, O Lord, that You have called us and You have provided for us, that we are enough in Your eyes because of Jesus. That Jesus gave His life on the cross, that He came to this earth and loved us and served us and gave more than enough, that we might be people equipped to be used by You, Lord. So, Lord, help us to reevaluate the ways in which You are calling us to ministry. And help us to be a people that trust You with everything that we have and hear Your voice as You lead us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, I think ministry is changing. And I think the things in which we really need to be concerned with is the ways in which we can be developing ourselves as His disciples. Because yes, while God has provided enough for us, we still need to be people continually examining ourselves and maturing in Christ. What parts of the Bible, what parts of the gospel do you feel weak in? What parts of who you are and the way God has made you that maybe you feel like you need to spend more time developing? Are you a confident prayer, or does praying out loud terrify you? We have come here. This is a gymnasium for how we get better and more mature in Christ, I believe. And we do that together by not being afraid of our weaknesses, but by bringing our weaknesses to Christ and saying, "Help us. Help us make us strong where we are weak." And as I've seen by so many people in this church, I've seen it happen over and over. The Spirit of God, use what You offer and develop Your gifts and Your talents and Your understanding of the gospel to do so much good. And so as we get ready to worship and sing our final hymn here, I want to encourage you to be thinking and asking yourselves the question, God, what are you calling me to do? And what are the ways in which I need to develop my discipleship so that I can be a more effective disciple for you? What are the ways in which I need to trust you more so that I can go and look upon the people with compassion and feed them as you call me to do it? Let's worship God, and let's let that question linger with us this week and come together again and work together on developing ourselves for the Lord.